Thank you all for coming to my talk this morning. I'm going to show you some of my master's research, which showed that a highly charged swelling mica reduces exchangeable and free copper concentrations in copper-contaminated soils in Chile. So Chile has the largest copper mining industry in the world, and the mining of copper exposes copper sulfide ores such as chalcopyrite to oxidation, which produces acidity, and metals in acidic environments become more soluble and more mobile as an acid mine drainage. And also the smelting of copper ores releases copper-containing particulates into the atmosphere, which are then deposited on surrounding land surfaces. It also emits sulfur dioxide, which then in turn creates an acidic environment as well. And so one way to remediate metal-contaminated soils is by adding an immobilizing material to reduce the metal's mobility and exchangeability. And a group of promising candidates in this regard are sodium fluorofluorocarbonate micas, which are synthetic micas. They're 2-to-1 phyllosilicate minerals. And they've been shown to be highly selective for copper in laboratory studies. An example of which is sodium formica, and this is the unit cell formula, and here's a schematic of it. It has extensive substitution of aluminum for silicon in the tetrahedral sheets, okay, which results in a very high theoretical cation exchange capacity of almost 500 centimoles of charge per kilogram. And it also has, in a cation exchange study, that had a distribution coefficient for copper of 218,000 in 0.5 molar sodium chloride. So this is showing that this mica is highly selective for copper, and these cation exchange reactions tend to go from less stability to more stability. So this indicates that this reaction has potential for remediation purposes. So the objectives of my study were to apply this mica to 15 different copper-contaminated soils in Chile and to assess its ability to reduce the exchangeable and free copper in these soils. So after synthesizing the mica, I flew down to Chile, which is located here in South America, and I looked at 15 different soils coming from 3 different copper mining areas in Chile, 2 of which were Los Maitenes and Yohue, which are located in Region 5 to the northwest of Santiago. And then El Teniente is located in Region 6 to the south of Santiago. And the principal source of contamination was copper smelters, so the metal was concentrated at the soil surface. This is a picture of the copper smelting stack in Los Maitenes. And this is one of my sites. It's actually my least contaminated site. And you can see there's nothing growing there because of the contamination. And this is located about 3 kilometers away from the smelter. The typical range of copper, total copper in soils worldwide is about, a typical level is about 13 to 24 milligrams of copper per kilogram. And the range in the soils that I studied was 112 to 2800 milligrams of copper per kilogram. Now looking at exchangeable copper in units of milligrams of copper per liter, the range in the soils I studied was 0.3 to 23. And I put a couple reference points here. In a hydroponic study, the minimum copper level causing phytotoxicity in peppers was 1 milligram of copper per liter, and the Chilean drinking water standard is 2 milligrams of copper per liter. And I must be honest, this is not a very valid comparison to make, because the milligrams of copper per liter, exchangeable copper that I measured, depends on the ionic strength of the solution I use and also the soil-to-solution ratio, but I still just want to give you a kind of an idea of how contaminated these soils were. And so this is a schematic of the experimental outline. I added mica at rates of 0.1, 1, and 2% by mass to 15 different copper contaminated soils. Also added montmorillonite for comparison at 2%, and also looked at the non-amended control. Each treatment was performed in duplicate, and I water them to field capacity once per week with deionized water. And at 3, 7, 25, and 60 days of incubation, I extracted subsamples with 0.1 molar potassium nitrate, and I measured soil pH, free copper activity, and exchangeable copper. This table down here shows the mica that I synthesized. It had a cation exchange capacity of about 230 centimoles of charge per kilogram. If you'll note that that's much lower than the theoretical cation exchange capacity of a pure phase, but I had to synthesize this mica on the order of several hundred grams, and it's typically synthesized in scale of milligrams, so I couldn't create quite a pure phase. The pH is about neutral. The montmorillonite I used came from the Source Clays Repository at Purdue University, had a CEC of about 95 and a pH of 6.1. This graph shows the initial exchangeable copper concentrations for each of the 15 soils as a function of pH. And you'll note that I have two main groups of soils. The first group had a pH of less than 5.5, and you'll note that the exchangeable copper ranged from low to high, about 4 to almost 60 milligrams of copper per kilogram. And the other group has a pH greater than 5.5, and it had very minimal exchangeable copper to begin with. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you results from one soil per group, and those data are going to represent what happened for the rest of the soils for its respective group. These really don't mean anything to you, but they're going to just help me out in explaining this. The MC35 is the low pH, represents the low pH soils with high or low exchangeable copper. And so you have exchangeable copper as a function of time here. This vertical line is just to emphasize time zero. And all five data points, or all five treatments, share the same data point at time zero. And the non-amended control, I measured at 0, 7, and 60 days of incubation, and you can see that it didn't change over time. Now looking at the 2% mica treatment, you can see from 0 to 3 days of incubation, you see drastic reduction in the exchangeable copper concentration, and it continues to decrease slightly over time. The 1% mica treatment follows a similar trend, though it was not quite as effective. And both these mica treatments were better than the montmorillonite in reducing exchangeable copper. And by the way, the free copper concentrations, or the trends in free copper, follow the exchangeable copper. So I'm just showing you the exchangeable copper data. Now looking at pH down here as a function of time, you can see that the 2% and 1% mica treatments significantly increased pH over time. But if you'll note the scale, the pH increase was less than 1 pH unit. Now for the soils with a pH above 5.5, they had low exchangeable copper to begin with, and you can see that the exchangeable copper tended towards zero in all five treatments, and there really wasn't much pH effect due to treatment. And so what this is telling me is that it really doesn't make sense to add a solid phase to trap metals if they're already in the solid phase to begin with. But then again, this amendment might be used as a security measure in these soils if they're going to be exposed to continuous acid deposition. You might have a decrease in pH in the release of metals, so that it could be has potential in these soils as well. Now, the way in which this mica works is the mechanism by which it retains copper is iron exchange. And so it starts out with sodium cations in the inner layer, and in the presence of copper, the copper will replace it and become fixed in the inner layer through that mechanism. And electron paramagnetic resonance spectroscopy has shown that copper is retained in the inner layer of similar micas in a previous study, and I'm about to do EPR analysis on my mica amended soils to hopefully confirm the same thing. And I, for the more acidic soils in which this mica worked, I performed analysis of covariance, which showed that as the mica, as the 1% and 2% mica treatments increased the pH to the same level that the montmorillonite did, they still had lower exchangeable copper values than the montmorillonite, which shows that this mica isn't really working by a liming effect or a pH effect. So this graph is showing at 60 days of incubation, exchangeable copper as a function of treatment. Again, this is for low pH soils with high or low exchangeable copper. You see that 2% mica and 1% mica treatments were significantly lower, had a significantly lower exchangeable copper than the montmorillonite treatment. And you can see that these all pretty much have the same letter. There's no significant difference and exchangeable copper as a function of treatment in the higher pH, low exchangeable copper soils. So the conclusion of my study is that by adding 1 to 2% mica to acidic copper contaminated soils, you can significantly reduce the free and exchangeable copper concentrations in these soils. And the way where I see this hopefully being applied in the future, it is to small surface contaminated sites, often brownfield sites in inner cities where you have metal contamination at the surface. And if you can apply this mica and reduce the mobility and the bioavailability of the metal, you can establish vegetation and you can prevent spread of the contamination from wind and water erosion, and hopefully You could make parks or make it safe enough to redevelop, and this will alleviate pressure of urban sprawl and also increase the quality of life in the city. And I'd like to acknowledge my friends, many of whom are here from Penn State, and with that I'll entertain any questions. Yeah. Well, these clays, the typical price on it to synthesize a clay such as this on industrial scale is about $2 a pound. But you need to have industrial scale facilities to make it cost effective, and so there would have to be a market for that. Okay.